Maurice LaMarche is without a doubt one of the most talented voice actors of all time. You may know him from the Animaniacs, from Pinky and the Brain, Disney, Looney Tunes, Dennis the Menace. The list goes on and on and on. He's going to be here in Chicago for the C2E2 convention, and it's a privilege to meet him. How are you, Maurice? Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me on, Bill. Hi, Wendy. Good morning.
Hi, Maurice. You know, before we had you on, I was just scrolling through your IMDb page to see what you were on, and I'm still scrolling. Is there ever an end to it?
You know, however long my IMDb page is, Rob Paulson's is longer, and Frank Welker's is the longest.
It is, isn't it? Those are
Frank Welker. I think he's 50 something pages printed out. The last time I tried, if you print out his IMDb with a 14-point font, he's like 50 something pages. I'm in the 30s or something like that, and I'm it's been a long career. I can't when you gave my credits at the beginning, I thought, oh yeah, Dennis the Menace. I mean, you went back a little bit, and I was like, oh my gosh, I did that with dear Phil Hartman, and when Phil got Saturday Night Live, like we all celebrated, and then he said, Mighty Mo, I'm going to teach all my characters. You're going to take over next season. So I did his two characters on Dennis the Menace going forward. But he was a dear man. But yeah, I've spent a long career, and now the Comic Cons are like the new vaudeville, what the comedy club circuit was in the 80s and 90s. Now the Comic Cons are where voiceover actors kind of go to meet fans and shake hands, and we do the autographs, and folks are good enough to give us a little money for that, a little tip in the jar, and it's just really, really nice. We do panels, which are like little two-man and three-man shows. It's fantastic.
One of the voices that people know you best from is from Pinky and the Brain, where I was sure you were doing kind of an homage to Orson Welles. That's got to be the case, right?
What show now?
From Pinky and the Brain.
I'm kidding. He's probably, of all the characters I've gotten to do, Brain is probably the most dear in my heart, because of his struggle, and it does tie into Welles' struggle, his struggle to get the movies made the way he wanted to. And when I first saw that picture of Brain that they drew, the kind of one that's in all the publicity, that's the model sheet, I only saw Orson Welles there. They didn't draw Orson Welles. They drew a writer named Tom Minton, who was working on the show. And I just didn't know Tom, which is good, because his voice is very monotonous and flat and quick. And he's a brilliant man, and that's why they based Brain on him. But I just saw Orson Welles, and we did the first couple of episodes where I did him completely as Orson, where I was very low and rumbly. And Andrea Romano said, we can't, there's nowhere to go down there. Try and infuse him with some highs, some peaks and valleys. So I thought, well, Vincent Price is a sort of a little bit on a little more emotional side. So I like a chef, I put in two soup songs of Vincent Price to the Orson Welles, and it became Brain. People hear Peter Lorre in there, and I don't hear Peter Lorre at all. But people say, I also hear some Peter Lorre, and I go, all right.
Take us back to when you were a kid, Maurice. You must have been doing voices as a child. Whose voices were you doing when you were young?
When I was young, I loved to do the buzzard from the Bugs Bunny cartoons. We'll go, oh, which way did he go? I loved doing him too. The one based on Of Mice and Men.
Yeah.
So I would go, which way did he go, George? Which way did he go? And then go, ba-roop, ba-roop, ba-roop. And that's how I go to school. And this is why my mother wanted me seen in kindergarten. Go, what's wrong with you? What is wrong with you?
Were you able to do the voices of your teachers as a kid? Because that's always a big plus. The kids love when you could do voices of the teachers.
I began to do the teachers in junior high. In fact, I credit Mr. Rob Fraser, my seventh grade math teacher, with getting me started doing voices at all. Fraz, as we called him. Fraz had a very nasal voice, still does, actually. I believe he's still in the Toronto School Board. And he speaks like this, but he was trying to do Columbo, which had just premiered.
Yeah.
and in the schoolyard for a bunch of my peers, you know, and especially there were a lot of little girls around him. So I went up and said, Mr. Fraser, sir, I'm sorry to bother you, but there's been a murder here. You just killed a Peter Falk impression. And I was off and running, you know, and that led to, you know, I did stand-up comedy in Toronto for 3 years and for 7 in Los Angeles at the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
I had a nice 10-year run just doing stand-up, and then this voiceover thing kind of, you know, just kind of happened. I tripped sideways into it with first Inspector Gadget, where I played the chief. Here's your assignment, Gadget. And then Real Ghostbusters, which we did for like 3-4 years, where I was Dr. Egon Spengler. I played Harold Ramis's character with his blessing. And so, you know, it just snowballed on from there. And now I'm on Disenchantment, Matt Groening's new show.
Oh, nice.
On Netflix. I play Prime Minister Oddvall. And a secret project I can't tell you anything about right now, but I think you'll be a lot of people who grew up in the 90s will be happy to see it again. So,
oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, but well, I can't tell you what it is. I can't tell you what it is. I'm under a big NDA. In fact, they sent an enforcer home with me to punch me out if I tell you.
No one wants that.
A guy named NDA.
Maurice,
NDA.
The first...
Isn't that Andy backwards?
Wait. The first time I saw you was on a sketch comedy show, and I don't remember the name of it, but you were doing different characters then. You were doing voices. You were on camera for it. What would that have been?
My gosh. It might have been the Super Mario Brothers Super Show. I did Inspector Gadget. I have the honor of being the first live-action Inspector Gadget. I beat Matthew Broderick to the punch.
Wow.
So it might have been that. Where else did I do sketches? I did some sketches on An Evening at the Improv. I actually wrote and performed in the last season of Evening at the Improv. And I had a sketch with Tony Curtis, which was wonderful, because I got to do Tony for Tony, and he signed his book to me, to Maurice, from me to you, who's me, Tony Curtis.
What did he say when you did Tony to Tony?
He said that nothing like me. That sounds nothing like me.
What a compliment.
No, he actually said, marvelous, that's wonderful. He was a very joyous guy, actually. I really enjoyed meeting him.
And you know, he did the voice of Stoney Curtis on the Flintstones.
He did indeed. Not a lot of people know that. A lot of people think they hired an impressionist. But in its time, the Flintstones was The Simpsons.
Yes.
It was a prime time show, and a lot of it. And Margaret did herself on the show. You know, a lot of celebrities did the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True or false, your dad, a newsman there in Canada, used to work with Alex Trebek. Is that true or false?
True. Absolutely true.
What was that
like? In 1962-63, he did the French news after Peter Jennings and Alex Trebek did the English news on the same set. They just flipped the switch and it went out on the French signal. So Trebek and Jennings would clear the set. My dad would come in and do the whole show that they'd done in French, backwards, and in high heels. He did the news, sports, and weather.
How cool. That's amazing. Are there voices that even you can't master? Has there ever been a voice that you thought, I really want to do this guy or his voice? I just can't pull it off. Has that ever happened?
You know, with some work, I used to say I'm the only impressionist who can't do John Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, my favorite way of getting an impression down is to listen to them in, you know, in the reels, as it were, talking to an audience or being interviewed or outtakes. The outtake tapes to me are the greatest way to nail down somebody, and that's how I go to Orson Welles, that famous Frozen Peas outtake tape. And so there's an outtake tape, unfortunately, of poor John Wayne, as drunk on his ass, talking to, I think they're USC students, and he's like, my name is William Wayne. I don't know what the hell this list is kind of complete.
And what about the masters? Did you ever get to meet the guys that are a generation ahead, like Frank Gorshin and Rich Little and Joe Baker? Did you ever get to work with those guys or meet them?
Well, I got to meet Rich Little when I was a kid. I went to one of his shows and snuck backstage to get his autograph when I was like 17. Frank, I actually got to work with. I did a Canadian variety show called Variety Tonight, and I was the host. And Frank came up and did two episodes, and so we did a little impression off on the show. Unfortunately, only Canadians saw it. Not unfortunate for them. It was actually a pretty fun show.
Yeah.
But, I don't have any of that footage, but I got to meet Frank, and I bump into him down here. He's always very sweet to me. Those guys were my heroes. And in the cartoon world, I missed Mel Blanc by 10 minutes.
Oh, no.
I walked into a session that he just finished doing Heathcliff, And I went, it smells like cigarettes in here. Yeah, Mel Blanc was in here with his cigarettes and his oxygen tank. And I said, oh, I missed him. Oh, darn. But I did get to work with the great Don Messick, you know, who was the Ranger Smith and Boo Boo. He was on Tiny Toons. I was Dizzy, and he was Hampton Pig. And we got to do a wonderful episode based on The Odd Couple, where the Dizzy Devil is the Oscar, and Hampton is the Felix. And it was so great to work with Don. He was old school, but a true master. And, you know, I learned at his feet.
Sure.
Frank Welker taught me everything I know. That was, I just have to throw that in there. I went doing Gadget and then into Ghostbusters, sitting next to Frank. He literally gave me a master class in voiceover acting. And we've worked together ever since. We did Futurama together, and so many characters. I mean, just taught me so much about creating characters.
So please tell me you love doing this, because it always sounds like you do. Anytime I hear any of the shows you're associated with, it just sounds like you're doing it with so much fun behind it. Are you enjoying it?
Morbo is extremely pleased yet sticky to have this career. Yes, even though I have to fly on the Dupe Starship with Captain Brannigan, oh, I can't stand Valour. It chafes me so. I really, really enjoy being a voiceover actor. Oh, yes, indeed. It's better than having me bottom dipped repeatedly in a vat of the finest creams and oils.
So when people come up to get an autograph from you, Maurice, do they just put their head down and try and envision the character? Because that's what I'm doing.
What I do is I generally hold the picture up for them, you know, so I say, now look at this. Because if they just look at my, you know, swarthy, complected face, you know, they're going to go, that doesn't fit, that doesn't sound right, you know. So I always hold up the picture and then, you know, hand them the photo and go and read them what I've written, you know. So,
oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'm Lur, ruler of the planet Ogaroma Gromper, CIA. Can I crash on your couch? Love Lur, you know, things like that.
Maurice, that's so funny, because whenever I would see Alan Reed in a movie, Alan Reed is the man who played Fred Flintstone, you'd see him in a movie and he'd act and he'd talk and you'd go, it's Fred Flintstone's voice in that guy's body. What happened?
In that guy's body. He was kind of a fire plug of a guy. He wasn't fat. He was like, he's very, just like his barrel chested and you know, he looked like an enforcer. And he had he played a lot of very proper sounding people.
Yes.
He only had that Fred Flintstone kind of thing when he was doing Fred. He gave him a working class accent. And that big laugh, and Bonnie, come on, let's sneak out on the girls. I got to play Fred Flintstone in a great show called Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law, which,
sure,
you know, they never got its due, but I thought it was one of the most satirical and fun shows I've ever done. Yeah.
Maurice, so nice to finally get to talk to you. Wendy and I have been fans of yours for so, so long.
You're amazing.
Keep up the great work,
sir. Thank you so much. Thank you very much. C2E2 this weekend, folks.
Yep.
Come see us.
The website is C2E2.com, and Maurice will be there. And again, continued success to you.
All of the Animaniacs, come on out and see us. Okay,
excellent.
See you later, guys. Thank
Take
you.
Care.
Thank you. That was the easiest interview ever.
Wasn't it?
Either he talked all the time or you did.
Right.
I, honest to God, like Rick and Morty, I love. Dexter's Laboratory, I used to watch all the time. He did a Popeye and Son. What was that?
There was a season, maybe two, but I think one, where they did a show where Popeye had a son who was like him, and he played Popeye on Popeye and Son. On Dennis the Menace, which he mentioned, he played not only Henry Mitchell, Dennis's father, but Mr. Wilson, who lived next door, and Ruff the dog.
Really?
He did all of them. Yeah. He's very talented.
Loved that show.
Me too. Wasn't that great?
It was.